I work on it almost every day. I worked on it again today. All right? In that book, the book is in two sections. Should I say yes? Because the book is titled, Should I Say Yes? Choosing a Mate and Preparing for a Great Marriage, something like that. So the first half is on choosing a wife or a husband. The second one is, that's the second one that's on preparing for a great marriage. But how did I help people prepare for a great marriage? It's simple. I described the marriage of God to them. That's all. I just described it. You heard me last Saturday explaining some little tips. I said, for example, there are things, there's a way you don't talk to your husband. You shouldn't call your wife a name that is common that anybody else can call her. I was learning as I was writing. I was teaching. For example, now, I wrote today, when the Bible says, because there's a chapter on love your wife. How should a man love his wife? I said, first of all, he must love his wife before he loves her. What I mean is this. Before he shows how love outwardly, there must be love inside. Are you getting my point? So the next thing, how does the love get inside? I'm looking at an issue. There's a scripture that I used to pray. In fact, when I was writing, I said, I'll tell my wife, you see, this is what your problem is. That is, this is why I'm on your case every day. The Bible says, be exhilarated with her love at all times. I used that scripture to pray long ago, and I'm still drunk with it. So that is why I'm excited about my wife 12 years after I married. I'm bringing an issue here. What I kept on doing in the book is describing for people, this is what God said your wife should be like. This is what God said your husband will be like. This is what God calls unity. And I said, listen, you read through the scriptures, you hardly find a godly marriage in the Bible. It's very rare. So if you can't find the Bible, where will you find it? God looked and he could only talk about Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Christ and the church. The rest of it, he said, David, shh, don't talk about David, please, not in this matter. Solomon, he said, which kind of embarrassment is this? Did I tell you to bring Solomon's matter into this discussion? Peter did not have it, you know that. Maybe afterwards he got it, I don't know. But when Jesus came, they said, you can't divorce your wife. Meanwhile, Peter done the plan. No, Peter was planning already. How do I know? The guy turned and said, if this is how it's supposed to be, John. It looks like maybe John wasn't married. He said, it is better not to marry. You see what I'm saying? I'm looking at an issue here. How was I trying to help the people of God prepare? It's not like, okay, oh, this is the kind of gown, this is how they buy it. When you're in the house, you put your room on this side. Make sure you smile like this from this side, but in the morning, afternoon, reserve the better smile. You know, all that one are plenty talk. The simple thing is, describe for people what God expects them to have. If they believe it, it will manifest in their lives. Are you getting my point? When they were sick, he said, take a serpent, a brass serpent, put it on a stick. Anybody that looks up will be healed. Are you getting the principle? Anything you gaze at, that's what I'm explaining. And you are transformed into that thing, it will manifest outwardly. What am I explaining? Therefore, if the way you were thinking about your business, your life 4 years ago, is the same way you thought about it 3 years ago, and you heard that prophecy that I was talking about, then you maintain the same thought pattern. And next year you heard a prophecy. You maintain the thought pattern. The following year you heard another prophecy. That's why nothing has changed, because outwardly cannot change until inwardly changes. That's why Elihu taught the people of God to pray, that which I see not, teach thou me. He said, if I have done iniquity, listen, iniquity, I've told you before, I said, so David, Job was bragging, tell me the day I took another man's wife, tell me this one, tell me that one. That's not what iniquity is. Iniquity is any thought pattern I have that is inferior to the one God says that you have. Let me say it like this. My desire to travel abroad may be iniquity. It may be. Meanwhile, for the person beside me, it's righteousness. Why? Because you look at it, what is pushing me? And God says, hey, this boy does not understand that security is not in places. That is in God. If you are in God, you are secure. Are you getting my point? So, because of that thinking pattern, the Bible says walking in iniquity. The other day, the results came out. You know, I'm an university teacher. We did a test on my students, and the results came out. A lot of people didn't do well. So I was standing there when the students were passing to go and check their results. And one, well, a group of students came. I said, what did you get? I remember this particular young lady, she did not pass. So I said, what happened? No, there were two of them. There was one guy. I said, what happened? He said, I didn't finish. I said, why didn't you finish? He said, I guess I did not manage my time well. I asked that lady, what happened? The paper wasn't clear. You know, the way they printed it, next time they shouldn't print it like that. And then the number of questions is too plenty for the amount of time. Then she kept on talking. I said, don't worry. I said, don't worry. You know what we're going to do? Because of what you have said, I'm going to write a letter to the dean. Faculty board will sit on it. We'll forward it to Senate because of only you. You must be out of your mind. That was what I said to the young woman. I said, something must be wrong with you. I told that guy, I said, anytime you have a problem, walk into my office. If you have any issue, just walk to me. I said, even if you need money, come and see me. The friends laughed. And I talked to the young lady. I said, listen to me, okay? With this attitude, you're not going anywhere in this life. I said, have you noticed that everything has been, the paper is wrong, the numbers are too plain, the lecturers, they smoke, the way they mark it, they drink. Yeah, yeah. Nothing is wrong with me, everything is wrong with them. You forget that in the same test, somebody got 70-something. The same paper, the same smoking lecturers, the same drunk markers, the same everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? Seasons don't change except you look inward and say, I am the problem. You did your business, you didn't do well. Why? Everyone says NAFDAQ, said we should get NAFDAQ number. Life has not been the same again. When PAC and Pooh prepared meter, my life just turned upside down. Water flowing in Enugu, that was the end of it. He said, why? Okay, no. I mean not water. Once they remove subsidy from fuel, by the time you finish. You've talked all of that, you finish. Essentially, everything is wrong with everybody else. And that's why you are adversely affected. Hear the word of the Lord. You need one more year on that spot. Am I saying problems don't come in life? They do. They do. The other day, people were annoying me. I would shout. I used to do that. In fact, something happened the other day. Somebody parked somewhere. My wife was talking, why is it parking here? Why did they park like this? Didn't see anything. I got to another place. One guy was reversing here. My wife started again. I said, baby, wait. It looks like the spirit that departed from me has entered into you. I said, this is the very thing I used to do. And I have repented before the Lord. Right now, I command you to repent and don't let it continue. I said, bus drivers are bus drivers everywhere. In Lagos, they are there behaving like they smoked. In Enugu, they are there with inferior quality smoke. Because Lagos won't smoke more than until last man showed up, made everybody behave. I said, are you going to change them by getting angry? No. And I found out that I used to get angry a lot. There was a way the Lord pointed out to me. After that, God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I do not repent of it every day. No. You get my point. Every day. There's no day I don't look back and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. That is, the problem is not how the people behave. The problem is that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. It's in his bosom. It's not outside. Are you getting my point? So there are issues outside. Things will always be available outside to prove to you that you are okay. Everybody else is crazy. You go to your office. Of course, the boss is mad. The gate man, is on drugs. The fellow that shares office with you, all right? All of them are on cocaine. Everybody is mad apart from you. You are the only righteous and godly person in that office. That is proof that you really now need deliverance that I said you did not need before. Are you getting my point? Elihu said, no one says, where is God my maker? He said, they cry because of the arm of the oppressor. They cry because of the things outwardly that's affecting them. But they don't say, where is God my maker? Listen, let me leave it there. The first thing we do, that's how you pray for change. Listen, you can't force pray change to come by, I command change, come now. You know what change we say? I started trying to come 5 years ago. Do you get my point? I've been trying to come before you started commanding. The problem is that there's no road to pass. So review. That's what we're going to do. Let us pray. Let's bow down. We don't need to stand up. Because you are going to do a lot of thinking. First of all, it's good. Let's thank God because it's important. You have blamed people too much and that one must come to an end. You can't be blaming people. You can't. First, thank God that you know you are delivered. That one is very important to say, Father, I thank you because I've been delivered. My warfare has been accomplished. It's ended. He says, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Comfort her. And the way you comfort her is by speaking kindly to her. So I'm giving you the comfort of God again today. He said, your warfare has ended. Your iniquity has been removed. In Jesus Christ, all the payment for your sins have been made. The power of death is sin. Curses come because of sin. Ancestral curses, hereditary curses, whatever be the problems, they come because of sin. Thank God because your warfare has ended. In Christ Jesus, you have been forgiven. He said, in whom we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You have been forgiven. People say, you may have been forgiven, but you can't change the consequence of the thing you did. It's not true. You can. God can. God can. No matter how bad it was, God can. He can't change the consequence. That's the meaning of forgiveness. If he cannot change the consequence, then the scripture that says he's able to save to the uttermost, then that scripture is a lie. The consequences can be changed. So thank God because you have been redeemed. Thank God because your warfare has ended. Thank God because the payment for your sins in Christ Jesus, it has been made. Thank him for that. Very important. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He said, who forgives all your iniquities? Thank him. He said, Lord, I thank you because I have been forgiven. Lord, I thank you because I have been washed. Lord, I thank you because I have been redeemed. Lord, I thank you because I'm not the same anymore. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. There has been a new creation. You have produced something new. Everything has become new. Therefore, I'm not a failure anymore. No, I know my great-grandfathers may have been something. Doesn't matter. In Christ Jesus, I am new. I am not held down by the heredity. I am not held down by anything. No witch is controlling my life. No enemy can hold me down. I'm secure in God. My life is hid with Christ 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 in God. That's the first thing. Now let's really do the review I talked about. Now, just look over your life. Now, only this is just between you and the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's not even now. It's just going to start. It will start now, but to continue when you get home. Take a piece of paper and start thinking. But it's a scripture. Let me just read it out. And you use this one to pray. Job chapter 34. Elijah was speaking here. Let me read from my New American Standard. The prayer point here is very important. Because like I established, the glory of God wants to be revealed, but oftentimes there's no way. He said in verse 31, Job 34, has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. That, he said, teach thou me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Please, I want you to notice that. He said, teach thou me what I do not see. Teach thou me what I do not see. It's a very important prayer. Just for a moment, you look over your life and say, Lord, in all the things, because the Bible says that every man's way is right in his own eyes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. So the fact that you think you are right doesn't mean you are right. It just means you are right in your own eyes. Therefore, you must pray this prayer. Say, Lord, that which I do not see, teach me. I pray this prayer all the time concerning the work I do as a preacher. Because I have ideas. You hear me share a lot of them. Some of them may not be perfect. I say, Lord, whatever it is that I am thinking and therefore doing that is preventing the advancement of the work that you have placed in my hand, reveal it to me. That's it. So that there's no problem with it, how to change it. This is the only way you change. Just say, Lord, it is wrong. This is what I have been doing, and I acknowledge that it is wrong. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. That's what God says, and that's how he changes people. Therefore, begin to look over your life. How was I thinking 4 years ago? From the time I began to desire change, how was I thinking? Am I still thinking like that? I remember his sister that was my friend those days, the way she used to talk, I used to tell her, okay, the way you talk, you can never get a good husband like this. I say, it's not possible. And he said, I'm cursing. I said, I'm not cursing you. I'm telling you the truth. I said, the way you think, no, it's not right. I said, that which I see not, teach thou me. There's an attitude that doesn't get you a good job. There's an attitude that does not bring customers to your office. There's an attitude. You don't even have to talk. It's a spiritual thing. Because angels are out there dragging things towards you. And evil spirits are there pushing them away from you. The one that's more powerful is the one you energize by your spirit. If your spirit is in tune with God, then you energize his power so that his angels bring good in your direction. Since you've been thinking or praying, asking for that change, have you changed the way you're thinking? How you're thinking about your work? Towards your parents, towards your friends, towards the nation, very important. How you are thinking about money. How you are even thinking about men of God, very, very crucial. How you are thinking about your neighbor. What's your attitude towards that money that you call yours? What's your attitude towards that certificate that you call your own? What's your attitude towards the security you have? There's a kind of passport you have to you think is a passport to breakthrough. And God has to explain to you that, listen, anybody focusing on this will only experience breakdown. And until it changes your thinking pattern in that area, you're not going anywhere. The way God deals with the children, you'll be surprised. Because he does. There are people who say that, no, the reason why I'm not ready to marry now is because I need to be able to stand tall in front of my father-in-law. So I need to make money first. God said, fine. Start. And the problem, all the blessing he wants to give is that if I give it to this boy, he will use it to produce pride in his life. And it's not a good foundation. Let him learn to be humble. Let him receive favor from my hand. He must understand that without it, he can still get favor. And that single thing has held some people back.
I said something before, to us before. I said, the first thing God does to you as a blessing is to correct you. God does not bless you despite all your wrong behavior. No, 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 no. The first blessing is a correction of that wrong behavior. He wanted to bless Jacob. He sent him to the house of Laban so that the man would start supplanting. Jacob wanted the blessing, and God loved and respected him for that. God loved Jacob. He said, but Jacob, I can't bless you like this. I can't bless you like this. So let me send you to the house of a senior deceiver. So you know that deception is not good. When Jacob went before Pharaoh, he said, the years of my life have been full of sorrow. It's not because God designed sorrow for him. Oswald Chambers said that, were the sufferings of Jacob necessary for the inheritance? He said, no. But for Jacob, it was necessary. That is, if he had a different attitude, he would not have had to go for that length of time suffering in the house of Laban. You labor for a wife for 7 years, they give you the wrong girl that you did not like. At the end of 7 years, it's not funny. And you're stuck with her. And they say, okay, work another 7 years for another one. Then you work another 7 years for your labor, for your wages. How about 20 years? By the time the man came back, he was humble. You don't have to go through 20 years. You can sit down and pray. And the labor of 20 years is converted to a few minutes of prayer. The prayer is the prayer of repentance. Say, that which I see not, teach thou me. Everybody, me, everybody here, you must, because everybody must pray that prayer. You need it. You need it. Let's just give the Lord thanks. That's all we have for today in prayer. Say, Lord, I thank you. Don't forget, this is an ongoing thing. It's an end of year. We're beginning, you know. Here, we close at the end of November. So, we have a few more weeks till our meeting for this year is over. So, we're taking that time out to just learn these principles of change. First thing we have established, you are not cursed. Number two, review your life. Because except your thinking changes, your life cannot change. Father, we give you thanks for today. Once again, let's just worship him. Just say, Father, we thank you.